I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
Is it any wonder why we're still going on
and on and on?
Does anybody ever ask what happened to that one we took?
You are listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we clearly do not learn from the past. I am the over 28 million black squares that people posted on Instagram back in 2020 here to say I told you so.
And I am the countless piles of pink knit hats filling landfills all over the United States.
Yeah.
Considering I didn't know what you where you were going with this.
Legit. Improv. Let's go.
Thank you. Which, before I even ask you how you're doing, I have to say this. The reason why I said that is I was watching TV a couple of days ago, prior to when this was recorded. And, you know, I'm just watching TV, just blah, 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 just doing my thing. And this commercial that comes on, and it's this blonde white lady in the kitchen with a robe, like on her phone in the kitchen. And she's looking up at the TV, and she's, I guess, watching what are the protests. Were people protesting? I'll say that, because I don't even know where they're going with this at this point, because there's no voiceover or anything. So then the text comes up, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact saying, but basically something along the lines of, back in 2020, over 28 million Americans posted black squares on social media. It's basically, they pretty much said, if we had a dollar for all those squares, we could have enacted a real change. And then it's like NAACP.org. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, okay. And say what you want about the NAACP, and we could argue whether or not, you know, does it do what it's, you know, meant to do. But I'm like, as a message, right, this is very clear. And it's like, where was this energy a couple of years ago? I was like, okay.
I mean, oh, man.
I'm here for it.
So how are you doing, Super Nintendo?
So we're recording this about a week after the election, and I'm better. I'm not good, I'm not great, but I'm better. I think I'm done. So back in 2016, I remember I went to bed pretty early the night of the election and was just kind of like, you know, things look bleak, but the West Coast hasn't reported in yet. I was still living in Florida, so like I had work the next day, all that kind of stuff. And I went to bed about 10 o'clock and was just like, you know, I believe in the left coast. We got this. We'll be fine. And I remember I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and I checked my phone and I saw that Trump won. And I just remember just like sobbing and being very sad and being in shock and all of that stuff. This time around, like, yes, I'm sad, blah, blah, blah. I'm pissed off, honestly. I'm mad that we're doing this again. That's where I'm at.
I wanted to be sad, be angry, and I'm going to say a word of my reaction from, I think, both 2016 and also this election. And I just ask anyone who's listened to us before, and the word I'm about to say, I don't mean it the way you think, so just hear me out. Don't hit stop. When I found out that he got elected the first time and then the second time, there was part of me that felt relieved. And I'm going to explain that. What I mean by relieved is I felt relieved that it's like, finally, the majority of the people around me that inhabit this country are finally showing me who they actually are. We're finally seeing this landmass of 50 states for what it actually is. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I was angry. I was whatever. And also just terrified. But yeah. Ultimately, I was just relieved. I always think about the SNL sketch from the 2016, like the post-election, where they're basically at like their friend's house. And it was like, basically as the election results are coming in and everybody's like, how could this happen? Where did we go wrong? What's going on? And then Chappelle and Chris Rock are literally sitting there being like, just not even phased. Like they're pretty much like, yeah, this is about right. Like it was, it might as well have just been Tuesday. It was just another Tuesday for them. There's just something very true about that of just, this is a thing that, you know, I think a lot of people in this country probably knew and maybe were hoping that wasn't the case. But considering everything that led up to this within the last 4 years, 8 years, really, the scandals, the court cases, the indictments, all of this stuff that ultimately would have null and voided everything. And yet both red and blue, without fail, acted like nothing was wrong. That this was a normal election. This was a normal proceeding. Like, this was all just okay. And that's, I think, ultimately my anger isn't that he got elected. It's mostly just the anger that there was, for the most part, zero pushback, almost minimal even, like, complaint of just assuming that, like, this weird overconfidence that it was just going to sway into the favor, but it's like, nobody did any work. Not challenging it, not even trying to be better than, or at least just showing it. It just was like everything just kind of went along as it, like I said, it was as if it was just another day. And I'm just, that to me was almost more baffling because usually they at least pay lip service. You know what I mean? Like they'll usually at least kind of put up a little bit and kind of tell us just, you know. I mean, yeah, there's the occasional YouTube video when I'm trying to watch like a Josh Johnson like stand-up special and, you know, Harris would come on and be like, democracy's at stake. And I'm like, I don't even know if you believe it the way you're saying this. Because if I have to basically be like the vice president of the sitting cabinet doing a YouTube video, I'd be like, we are going to die, y'all. Get your shit up. We need to get this shit done. Let's go, go, go. Like, why does this sound almost pleasant? You know what I mean? Like, what is... You can't kind of sit me down like my grandma and ask me, like, you know, how are the kids and my girlfriend? Like, no. Like, I need you to worry a little bit. I need you to sound panicked. Splash some water in your face. Make your voice quiver. Sound like you are desperate because you sound way too confident about this.
And we... God. The Harris campaign fucked up. Like, looking back now, like, it's... It's wild to look back on some of the choices that they made, that the powers that be sat down and said, this is a good idea. Like, the whole Liz Cheney thing is fucking a choice, capital A, capital C. the whole Joe Biden did a great job, 10 out of 10, no notes thing was fucking weird. Like, them doing rally events at like New York Fashion Week is fucking weird. Like, and now they're like, we're out of money. Can we have some? And I'm like, no.
Right. And the fact that after that election, friends of mine were posting, and I'm not going to mention it by name, were mentioning that they were getting like donation emails and stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, that is bold. And yes, I'm sure those are probably automated to a certain extent, but.
My God, read the room.
Yeah.
You and I both kind of came at a similar place. And I guess to kind of bring it back a little bit, you're probably asking us, why now? Like, don't you guys got another Fast and Furious movie to do? Or like, you know, gearing up for your year-end list that you're also really panicked about, Adrian?
Yeah, this definitely isn't an episode to avoid doing that. Do not worry about it. Those are forthcoming.
And actually, I just want to commend you, and not to like pat ourselves on the back that we're doing so much good stuff, but it was kind of a testament to even like that thing that we've always said as far as, you know, accomplices, not allies. Because you actually approached me about doing this and asked if we wanted to. And I think at the time you initially asked me, it's not that I didn't want to. I wasn't sure if it was necessary, but I think in your approach and how you asked me, not that maybe you said it directly, but it very much was... I feel compelled to do this. Like, I need to say something.
Yes.
And at that point, how could I possibly say no? Because ultimately, I wanted to say something too. Not that I feel like it wouldn't change anything, but just rather everybody has an opinion on this one way or another. But ultimately, it was more about kind of keeping true to ourselves and really each other. And if nothing else, like, because trust me, I wanted to hop on a mic and rant. I was like, y'all motherfuckers ain't shit.
And who knows? Who knows? We might still do that.
Well, I'm doing it right now. Like, y'all motherfuckers ain't
right.
And to be fair, you know, I'm talking, and this is where this is pretty much like the most bipartisan backlash I'm giving everybody, because I don't care, red, blue, doesn't matter.
Y'all all fucked up.
And I guess ultimately, if I'm being honest, I'm more angry at the outright apathy of the people who supposedly were trying to stop this, because it's that's the part I keep coming back to, of just like, if I didn't know any better, I'd say something even bolder and say, like, were you in? Like, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I might cut that out. I don't know. But I don't know, because I'm just like, at this point, I'm just like, what the fuck? You literally, for hours, like I said, and I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch a lot of, like, you know, hour-long video essays, and every 5 minutes they were getting stopped. You're doing donation runs, you're doing rallies, you're doing this and that. And ultimately, it's like, where did all that go? What was the plan? And not only that, but also, this isn't the Mighty Ducks. Like, Dean Portman isn't going to show up in, like, the last 2 minutes of the third period and strip in a penalty box for the Ducks to get a win.
Right.
You know, you're not putting in Julie Gaffney at the last play of the last game, even though she's a better goalie than Goldberg. Like, this isn't like those old sports movies. Or it's not like Russ Tyler fucking pulling his helmet off. It's not Goldberg, it's Russ. He's got a knuckle puck. With this, because that's legal, but whatever. I like the Mighty Duck show. Fuck you. Like, I don't know if we really thought we were going to do this weird Hail Mary at the 0 hour. And, like, it was just, I'm just like, oh, this is a bad look, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Mighty Ducks.
Those episodes are forthcoming. At one point, you and I recorded a commentary for one of those movies.
God, wasn't that like 10 years ago?
It can't have been that long.
That was early on in Adrian Has Issues.
It was when your computer, like, fucking caught fire. Like, legitimately caught fire.
That was about 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. Shut up. Oh, gross.
I'm sorry. I didn't have to do that to you. That was... I didn't have to do that. We're already in
the... I remember doing it!
I remember, too.
That's so upsetting.
It was so long ago.
I know. We're so old. So for the people that don't follow me specifically on social media, not the show, but like me personally, I am pretty involved in the crafting, quilting, sewing communities. And you're like, that sounds really lame. And you know what? You're probably right, but that's fine.
No, it's not. Stop this. It's wonderful. It is so cool, y'all. You got to see this woman's quilts and her like, fucking majestic.
And as one would imagine, being involved in those communities and following a lot of that on social media, those spaces, not completely, but those spaces are pretty white. They skew a bit older, and they're definitely almost all women. So, after the election, I'm in my feelings about it. I'm doing a little bit of metric doom scrolling kind of shit. And I see somebody that I follow post this video about, what do we do? I'm part of the 48% of these white ladies that didn't vote for this guy. I want people to know this. How do I do that? I have an idea, blue bracelets. And I frowned at it and was just like, well, hopefully this is just one idiot. And, you know, and we'll move on from there and we'll realize that this is... And then over the course of the next few days, a lot of people that I follow started reposting that and just, you know, really like hype on this whole idea of blue bracelets, like, and it filled me with fucking rage. I sat down and was like, I'm gonna make an Instagram post, like, I want to make a post about it and just tell everybody they're fucking morons. I like got halfway through it and was just like, something stopped me. And I just kind of was like, all right, maybe I'm overreacting. I don't really know. Let me sit on this for a day or two. And if I still am this mad about it, then I'll post it fine. Within that day or two, instead of posting it, I talked to you about it and screamed for like a half an hour.
I feel like we went longer than a half hour because we're basically playing video games. Like we're doing like GTA shit as we're having this conversation. And I feel like if there's a perfect time to have this discussion, be enraged, like it is now. And I said something to you on that day because you had asked me, it's like something along the lines of, again, it's that thing of, should I even say this? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring up the black square thing at the beginning was, you know, I always go back to the George Floyd murder and the whole country watching that happen, watching a man literally die on national television. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring it up is a bunch of people flooding my post about what do we do? Like, and I'm talking friends of mine I didn't even know even were still on social media. Like people, and I'm not saying that they were bad in doing this, but like it was a lot of people kind of going to me being like, are you okay? Like, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, what do we do? Whatever. And it's like, you know, and doing my best to try to field all that, which is like, hi, clearly I'm the ambassador of the entire, you know, black culture. Like, hi.
Right.
And also shout out to old friends who wait to the last minute to apologize for calling me a yeah, it's like, yeah, sure. It took you a man literally dying on national television to apologize for being a racist. But whatever, we all make choices in life, apparently. To me, that moment was like this turning point because this thing's happening. We're all in this moment trying to figure out. We just saw the unthinkable happen. And there's this reckoning of how do we reconcile with this image that is now pretty much like ingrained in our society. Because that thing that we've always seen and heard about and experienced ourselves in some way was now put on like the biggest screens. And as we always do, people are like, hey, read these books, do some work in your own communities. White people, get your folks, you know, no more of the passive aggressive stuff at Thanksgiving, like, you know, really dig into this. And I watched a large number of people come that fall going into the election, do nothing. And again, it became black squares. It became BLM hashtags. It became, you know, the occasional song that I guess whatever little baby was trying to say, I still don't even know what that song was about. Something about the bigger picture. But it was all this stuff that was happening, but not the thing that we were saying to do. Anybody well-intentioned was saying, here's how you can break this down systemically because it's systemic. We got to take it from the ground level, bring it all the way up. And that didn't happen.
Instead, we were doing yard signs and we were removing shows from streaming that were apparently offensive to somebody at some point. You know, we were getting Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima, like.
And to be fair, that stuff was cool. And I also want to preface by saying, I don't want to sound like no one did anything. I'm sorry. Let me go back a little bit. I'm being a little reactionary. It's not that no one did anything. It's just that there was some really cool shit that happened. But like, there were more direct ways because obviously, you know, and how does a problem not get fixed? By making it too large. By making it sound complicated, by making it sound so far out of our reach that it's something that's unattainable. We were just at the, hey, let's read some books. Let's, you know, let's just have conversations about this. Let's just get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that didn't happen, like Ash said. Like, it was everything except that. And then a good number of people, maybe well-intentioned, well-meaning, were like, well, this is hard. I'm exhausted. I don't think I could do this anymore. And it just stopped. And I still feel like so much of that burnout, that apathy, and that just kind of hopelessness in this, in just how to like fix our society spilled into the last couple of months, couple of years, and the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And that blue brace, like when I first saw it, I thought it was a bit. I didn't think this was real. Because I'm like, what is this supposed to do? And it's like, how can y'all not center yourselves around the conversation? Or at least if we're going to center yourselves, at least contextualize it and not just say, well, I feel bad.
But it's not even I feel bad. It's I want to be recognized. And several of the videos use this exact phrase. And you and I both did not like it. it's that they want to be recognized as one of the good ones. And the fact that that was the exact language used, I'm like, I was flabbergasted. My gasted was flabbered. Like,
I almost threw my controller because, like, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, like, I could maybe possibly match NAACP's donation. Because I sound like this, and because I listen to a different type of music, and because maybe my fashion sense, like, I had heard that phrase so many years of my life. You know, and there's people like classmates I had that I probably would have hung out with. But at the same time, it was awkward because I have other people saying, King, you're one of the good ones, not like this guy. And me looking at this guy being like, I'm so sorry, dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, I wanted to say to my friend for who, again, waited to the last second to apologize for calling me one of the worst things you could call somebody. A word much like that John Mulaney bit where it's like, if it's a word so terrible that you can only say the first letter of it. Or maybe the last one, we say hard R or the N-word, it's never anything in the middle.
Right.
You know, wait until the last second, but it's that energy. And this is someone who, again, was so much about supposedly direct action and about being progressive. But again, it's that moment of a lot of people, maybe they're not hateful. They're not wearing swastikas. They don't have white hoods. They're not wearing the red hats. They're not burning crosses. But there's still a disconnect, even in your wholesome, you know, well-intentioned mannerisms, there's still a disconnect of not understanding what some of this language, some of these gestures, what they mean to people who are being marginalized and downright disenfranchised. And that phrase, you're one of the good ones, like, and as much as I say I'm not surprised by things, that one I was like, I thought we had figured out. I really did.
I was there for this. Like, the pink hats, man. The gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss, gummy bear shit. I was there for that. I lived that shit. Like, we did that. That was feminism at a point in time that got us to a spot, but we have moved past it. It's much like, I think about this a lot, like, Rent. Rent, as far as queer representation, that was one of the first times that, like, we saw queer characters on Broadway. Has it aged well? Nah. No, absolutely not. But for that time, in 1996, 1997, that was good queer representation. And, you know, Will and Grace, things like that. Like, we take these steps. They're good for what they are at that point in time. But you don't go back there. And that's what this blue bracelet shit is. We're doing fucking girl boss Etsy activism again. And no, for the 48% or whatever the fucking percentage is, I don't even care right now. Like, for those people that are listening that are thinking about hypothetically, this might be a thing that you want to do, don't. Take your blue bracelet money, donate it to a charity. Take your blue bracelet money, spend it at a Black-owned business or a queer-owned business, you know, a minority-owned business, a veteran-owned business. Take your time that you would spend shopping for your blue bracelet and do charity work. Read a book. You don't. I get it, man. Like, being out in public and talking to strangers fucking sucks shit. I hate it. Read a book. Educate yourself.
Right.
Like, the blue bracelet, it's not going to save you. No one gives a flying fuck. No one cares about your bracelet. Just don't do it. It's a waste of your time. It's virtue signaling and it's gross. Like, just do real stuff. Use your skills. Take those skills and use them to make something positive happen or to support other people doing positive shit. Or even just, you know, learn something, anything. Like, this is not the answer. We can't do this again.
No, we may not even get another chance to do this again if
no
things go the way that, you know, they're being planned currently. We may not get this chance again. And at the if and this is gonna suck is as much as I want to be fearful for everybody who's just trying to live and do the right thing. But it's like, you know what, though? But it's stuff like this, or not even specifically just the braces, but that same type of energy and mentality that just, we just wanted to have the tough conversations. I know it was a start. It was a small start, and it wasn't going to get fixed overnight. We weren't even asking for it to get fixed overnight, but we needed to at least just get the basic understanding of there's a clear disconnect. Because I want to look up the demographic breakdown from 2016 to 2020 to 2024. Mm-hmm. And really, like, even just looking at that, because I looked at that for, like, hours. And there were some surprising things in there. And maybe I can't speak to those on a cultural level because that's not maybe my culture. So maybe that would be speaking out of turn to a certain extent. But it's just like, it was surprising to say the very least. And it's like, because at least from, you know, our Caucasian friends, like, you know, some of that percentage didn't really move a whole lot.
And here's one thing that I'll say for all the white people that want to go, but look at the Latino vote. You know, there was a 50% black vote that voted for Trump. The numbers are not statistically significant. Like, we are, this is a fucked up analogy. Roll with me on this. We are the golden retrievers. We are the dogs that will bite the most, not because we're necessarily the meanest, but just because there are that many fucking of us. So you could be mad at the 15% or, you know, the Latino vote or whatever. You could be mad about that, but those pockets are not moving the needle in the same way that white people are, just by sheer numbers. Facts.
And we can definitely argue whether or not they should, because, and that's the thing, like, getting into a lot of that is, God, and nuance is often lost in these discussions. Uh-huh. So, like, I want to just make that clear, like, at least for me, like, there's a lot of it where it's like, I'm still kind of trying to make sense of all this, because it's like, what does this mean? I know what it means, but it's like, does it mean what I think it means? And I said that on purpose, because it's like, I'm literally spinning in circles trying to figure out, like, where do we land on this? But again, it's going back to the bare minimum wasn't even attained. Mm-hmm. And what I also said to you the night when you approached me about this was, because I think you said something about, you know, it's like, I know I'm just like this white lady, whatever. And I was like, you know what? In this particular context, I think you're exactly the person. And I know that's a wild statement for me to say, but again, bear with me on this one, listeners, is that Ashley is more equipped, because you know what? They'll hopefully listen to her because they stopped listening to us.
And that's exactly what you said. You told me to come get my people and I'm here getting them.
But it's not even just up to you. And that's the thing is, like, you know, and not to pat ourselves on the back, like, oh, I'm doing my part, but it's, you know what, but this is it. Like, you know, much like that episode I did with Eileen, Jay Lindsay earlier this year. Yeah, that conversation isn't going to necessarily change the world, but you know what, though? It at least provides enough food for thought. If it's enough to at least consider it and maybe try to, like, make some steps into kind of digging through it, that's how it works. Like, in a perfect, like, I wish there was some magic way to do it. I wish this were like Power Rangers, the movie, where we can all just stand in a circle with our arms out and then the little symbols fly off our chest and get this old fuck back in his tube.
Yeah.
With his Drake hotline bling sweater. Like, I wish it was that easy that we could just do just this one thing and have it be done and have it taken care of. But ultimately, by doing this, we're still completely disorganized. And I hate to say it, but, you know, I grew up and was raised, and maybe it's, looking back, is it kind of gross? Maybe. But something I was always led to believe is, don't sleep on your enemy. Mm-hmm. When things are good, when things are great, when they're quiet, you got to be on your shit. Because I hate to say it, that message was shitty. It was disgusting. It's horrific. It's terrifying. It's dangerous. It's all the bad words you can think of to describe it. But they were organized.
Yep.
God damn it, I was about to make a Mighty Ducks analogy. It's like, Coach Dancy knew everything about us. They were ready for us. Meanwhile, America's out here eating ice cream with the fucking Iceland lady and fucked us up. Sorry.
This is a pop culture podcast. We have to bring in the culture somewhere. I had a conversation with a friend of mine in which I kind of posited that it might have been better if Trump had won in 2020.
I don't know. Like, I know there's a reason to saying that. It's just hearing it, it just stings a little bit. So it's...
Okay. My reasoning was that, you know, the 2016 through 2020 was such a shit show. They were completely unorganized as, like, the ruling political body. It was a mess. Mm-hmm. And now they've had 4 years to kind of figure that out.
Right.
And we'll see. You know, we don't know. It's, you know, Joe Biden's still out there doing stuff for now. So we don't know how things are going to go. But I don't know. I just, and this may be conspiracy theory bullshit, and take it with whatever grain of salt you want to. The J.D. Vance, you know, BlackRock, big money think tank bullshit of it all makes me worried. Because Mike Pence was, I say this kindly, Mike Pence was a religious wingnut, but at the end of the day, had his morals, kind of.
Well, everybody waited to the last second because the rats were trying so hard to jump off that ship. Like, Hydra got knocked down a peg, and it's literally like Jasper Sitwell type people being like, you know, it wasn't me. There's an algorithm. I'll take it where, like, just don't kill me. And then literally 2024 is Winter Soldier ripping him out of the car, throwing him off into the Hydra.
Meanwhile, morals are not a thing. That's not a thing that man has.
No.
So the idea that he's going to fucking 25th Amendment Donald Trump and do some seriously evil shit is a thing that I am legitimately concerned about. Yes, Donald Trump is also bad. Like, neither option is a good option. But, you know, couch fucking aside, he seems like a smart dude who, you know, isn't actively fucking sundowning and doing all of the weird shit that Donald Trump is doing. So, I don't know. I got the ick from all of it. It all feels bad. But at the same time, like, I don't want to sit here and feel all doomy gloomy about it. I can't. Like, I can't live that way for 4 years. I got to find something to do with myself, and I gotta put my energy somewhere, and you all have to put your energy somewhere. We can't all just sit and doom scroll and lie down and let all this bad shit happen. We have to do stuff.
And I know it was corny when I said it, and I don't even want to reread it. It was the post I think I put up on IG and Facebook, basically the mosh pit analogy.
Yeah, I tried to post that on our social media, and for whatever reason, Instagram was just, like, not letting me do it.
Which is funny you should say that, because you know what, though? In retrospect, and again, not to be all a conspiracy theorist about it, but certain things start to make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's not act like, you know, that massive elf in the room, the former Bird app, and things like that. Right. Or I would even argue maybe a little bit of like what was going on with TikTok. There's just certain things that are happening, and they were happening right in front of our faces where it's like, I know this is not what I think it is. You know what I mean? Like, there were certain things where it's like, I want to say something about this, but again, I don't want to sound like it's a tinfoil hat, but it's like moves were being made like so blatantly. Mm-hmm. That, and I don't want to keep harping on this, but moves are being made, and the issue that I'm having right now, and I swear we're going to get to the hopeful part, but I just got to say one more thing. How can I even say this? This idea that somehow in raising a shit, getting a little, maybe a little bass in our voices, pushing back, whether that's figuratively, literally, mentally, physically, as somehow in doing that, even if that means we got to be a little impolite at times, you know, and polite society has kind of bred us to do this kind of thing. Whereas the idea of just, it's all passive aggression. It's fearful of the direct approach. It's seen as scary. It's seen as frightening. There's no reason why, like, if let's say my kid, because this has happened, has been like attacked at school and someone was pushing him, and then my kid, whom we taught, like, yes, you know what though, use your words, you know, you treat everybody fairly, but if someone is right, you have a right to defend yourself to a certain degree, pushes back, as is their right, I don't feel like both of those kids should be in trouble.
No.
I guess it's like the hockey thing where I swear I was done with the hockey metaphors. I don't know what's going on tonight. I'm sorry, y'all. Yes, let's say two players on opposing teams start fighting each other. Guess what? They both go into the box, even if one of those people is probably doing it out of self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, in trying to defend yourself from bullies, even if that means knocking them upside the head, if they're being super out of pocket, is somehow the wrong approach. That somehow it's like we got all of our rough edges sanded down and we got comfortable. And we just got to say, well, I don't want to make any waves. And it's like, this is what happens.
You told me we were talking about something related to this. And you said something that has kind of stuck with me and I've kind of rolled it around in my head for a little bit. Like, yes, we can all be nice, but sometimes there needs to be somebody there to throw a brick.
Yeah.
It's easy to be nice. It's hard to be a brick thrower.
But you can be nice and also push a finger at somebody's face that they're fucking with you. And I'm not saying that to be argumentative to you, because it is a thing that I hear where people, it's like, well, that's mean. But it's like the difference is if we're literally fighting to save ourselves and the people around us, like we really have to be on our anime protagonist shit. Fight for your friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And like, and there's like, we see like all these shows where like these people are literally fighting tooth and nail to the very last breath. But they're doing it, and not because they just like fighting, they're doing it to protect people. That was what we were supposed to do. You know, and that's why I made that analogy regarding like the whole mosh pit thing, which I'm trying to bring up. If we learn any lesson from all this is, again, blue bracelets, black squares, whatever. And fuck you, triple on the yellow square thing back in the day. That was super fucked up.
Oh, God.
Remember when they tried that a little bit and that finally got pushed back at, you know, when a lot of the, during COVID?
Uh-huh.
When, which, my God. I'm so glad that that got knocked down super quickly. Because that was like even more gross. But I found the post, by the way, because I'm going to basically repost this, and we will follow us on Blue Sky, by the way, TLAT podcast. So I had wrote 6 days ago, if you see somebody fall down, you pick them up. If somebody is hurt, get them to safety. If people are doing the most and deliberately hurting others, get them the fuck out of there. And if there are people on the fringes who are caught in the fray, you form out to protect them. If it works for a pit at a show, it'll work for humanity as a whole. We have to look out for each other, for we are all we have. We are literally all we have.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Avengers. There's no Power Rangers. There's no Buffy even.
That one hurts.
Sorry.
That felt targeted.
There's no Dominic Toretto. There's, you know what I mean? Like, there's none of this.
There's no Bakugo. There's no Cementos. Nothing.
Oh, man. No Cementos. It's so sad. He's the best.
I'm sorry. You're trying to make a point. I'm being a dumbass.
No. By all means, be a dumbass, because it keeps me from getting upset. Like, there's no one coming to save us. Our government has never been there to do that for us. And it's wild. I'm even afraid to say this because, if left unchecked, saying this will get me fucking killed. Anybody saying anything can get them hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky at most you get shadow banned. If we don't step up and do something, we're going to be at a point where we literally will be getting like fucking like hauled off just for being in the middle of town saying, you know, fuck Trump or something like that. If we don't start taking shit seriously, it's going to get so much worse. We have so much more left to lose. And I don't necessarily mean everybody's got to go like marching down the street, but even if it's a simple thing of giving a fuck about the person next to you, mm-hmm. just because they look different than you. And yes, on the flip side of that, it's like, oh, you know what? There is no agree to disagree. I'm sorry. If you voted for this motherfucker, I hope you unfollow us. I hope you unfriend us. I hope you go get lost. I want nothing to do with you. And if it means we get no more listens, then so be it. Because I personally have had it. We should be talking about our year-end playlist. We're supposed to be talking about Chaperone right now and post our Avengers episodes. Maybe even get around to the Silverchair one. We were supposed to be talking about anything else other than this right now.
I shut off Veilguard to be here. I need you people to understand.
She barely talked to me for a week when this game came out, y'all.
That's not true. Don't make me sound like
I'm that. Fucking with you. Sorry, no. I'm sorry. Let me not needle you. No, but lovingly, she was locked all the way in, y'all. Like, we're lucky that we talked at all because, again, you took a whole week off to get into this thing you've been waiting a decade for. honestly, I feel like, and I'm going to let you talk. I'm so sorry. Last thing. I feel like if just the Harris camp had just said, if you vote for this guy, you're not getting GTA 6, instant win, sweep.
Oh my God. That would have worked. Project 2025 is talking about doing some really out-of-pocket shit when it comes to what media exists and how we're able to consume it. And I guess to kind of piggyback off of the last thing that you said, everybody has a certain amount of privilege. Some of us more than others. Keep that a buck. Like, you know, not everybody's got the same amount of privilege, but we all have some. And we need to be using it to take care of those with less privilege than we have and those that need the most protecting.
Well, they have nothing to do with me, so I don't have anything to worry about. But it's like, but it will be. Because when they're done with us, who do you think they're going after? And I'm not talking Republican, Democrat. I don't give a fuck. But if there's people in power who are being bullied, this is like I said, it's Captain America shit. I just don't like bullies. That's it. Elephant, donkey, I don't give a shit. Because there's a clear thing that's happening right now. And it's like, we just have to just look out for each other. But looking out for each other also means correcting us when we're being wrong. Mm-hmm. It's also saying something when someone's being out of pocket, because you know what? I'll own up to my shit. Going back to that friend earlier, I could have said something then. I could have said a lot of things, and I chose not to. Thinking that somehow it was going to make things worse, because you know what? I was made to feel that way. That somehow my voice didn't matter, and I let a thing continue to happen for the better half of almost 20 years. And shout out to Ashley, and Latinerd, and Jail, who's not here, but a bunch of other people who are like, no, we're not doing that anymore. Talk your shit. Because I'm the first to tell Ashley, talk your shit, Berkey. So, you know what, though?
It's true.
And Ashley's not me. And I'm not saying, and I say this in a loving way. You know, like, I'm always ready to throw a brick at somebody.
And which is why I'm kind of like, you know, we need our brick throwers. And I understand as somebody, look, I'm a Midwestern white lady at heart, man. Like, the politeness, the kindness, the manners, all of that shit, especially being a woman, like, all of that shit is drilled into you from the moment you escape, you know, your mother's womb. And having to undo some of that in order to be able to speak up for people around you, it's hard and it sucks. But you just have to do what is necessary sometimes.
And ultimately, I know this is going to sound super corny, but don't lose hope. Because there's no fight in hopelessness. And it's good to have hope, but it's also good to have joy. You have to have something good to balance off the shit, because a lot of people are going to get burned out like they did 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, and that's my point is, and I don't know how to teach that. I'm learning it myself, because dear God, am I not a person of balance?
What?
Shut up. Good night, everybody. I was up. I know, and I'm a person of extremes, and it's not fun, and I try to dial that down, but like I said, you can't lose hope. Kind of like what Jennifer Hale was telling us on the episode where it's like, you are the one you're waiting for. And if I can't tell you how many times I listened to that on election night, and it's like, the commander's telling me to get up. Also a fictional character, but you know what though? She also lives that shit.
If you're not following Jennifer Hale and following the work that she's doing in regards to voice actors and the AI stuff, like, it's definitely worth a follow. She's doing some great work of her own.
My God, this poor woman's forever fighting synthetics.
Right? She just wants to be a Disney princess. Good Lord.
Like, this was supposed to be a job, a character I played. I was not supposed to be doing this in real life. The fuck's wrong with y'all? It's gonna be a rough time. It's going to be a very rough time. The only way we're getting through this is together. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Ashley, for even, you know, presenting this opportunity. Because, like, I honestly kind of didn't want to do it at first. You were the one that taught me this time. It's like, hey, you know what? It's worth doing. So thanks for that.
Of course.
Because I was ready to just get on social media and just start cussing at y'all.
Again, you'd be surprised what you can bring to something. If you don't feel like that you have the skills to volunteer or do anything like that. You know, your time, your money, your intellect, your skills, any of that stuff is useful to somebody. We learned that from the early stages of COVID. Who would have thought in a million years that being able to use a sewing machine would be able to save lives? But for the people out there that were making masks for essential workers and things like that, that's exactly what happened. So you never know. So don't discount yourself and don't discount your skills. And, you know, read a book. Jesus. Keep tabs on your people and keep tabs on yourself. Because you are no good to your people unless you have your own shit straight. And I understand that that's hard. And as a person who is very prone to putting others before my own shit, you may not feel it being true, but it is true. Like, you are no good to anyone else if you are burnt out and a puddle on the floor. So take care of yourself. Take care of the people around you. Don't be a racist piece of shit. Don't be a whatever phobe.
Just don't be an asshole.
And don't buy a blue bracelet. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's it. Just don't.
That's it.
You know what? I'm going to say this, though, to close this out. Oh, well, first off, I love you, Ashley, and thanks.
I love you, too. And we will get through this together.
We will.
All in this together.
You can't see me dancing.
All right, I'm done. Speak your piece.
Some of y'all need to get swallowed by a whale.
I bet hateful people don't taste as good.
Oh, that's Dagan. Fuck it. Whatever I was going to say was not nearly going to be as amusing as that. Fuck it.